Tom Cruise fighting Brad Pitt in a medieval sword duel. Scarlett Johansson delivering a presidential address. Morgan Freeman narrating his own funeral. None of it real. All of it trending. And Hollywood is furious. Welcome to AI Pulse for Saturday, February 14th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your analyst. Happy Valentine's Day, Kate.
Happy Valentine's Day, Marcus. And what a gift the internet has given us today. We've got ByteDance's Seedance 2.0, igniting an all-out war with Hollywood over deepfakes. Half of xAI's founding team has walked out the door. A viral essay about AI and jobs has hit 60 million views, and it turns out AI helped write it. Claude Opus 4.6 launches with something called Agent Teams. An AI system is outperforming doctors by a factor of 4. And Nature magazine says AGI might already be here. Let's get into it. So Marcus, we talked about Seedance 2.0 yesterday. We covered the jaw-dropping quality and Elon Musk saying it's moving too fast. But this weekend, the story exploded in a direction nobody expected.
Right. So what happened is that within hours of Seedance 2.0 hitting wider availability, users started generating incredibly realistic celebrity deepfakes. We're talking Hollywood A-listers. Tom Cruise versus Brad Pitt in a hyper-realistic fight scene that racked up tens of millions of views across social media. Scarlett Johansson, Dwayne Johnson, you name it, someone generated it.
And Hollywood didn't just frown, they lawyered up.
Fast. Disney was one of the first to move, sending cease and desist letters directly to ByteDance. Then, the Motion Picture Association, the MPA, issued a statement calling it, quote, a massive and brazen infringement of copyrighted content. SAG-AFTRA, the actors' union, jumped in too, calling it a fundamental violation of performers' rights to control their own likeness.
Now, ByteDance had restrictions in place, right? We mentioned yesterday they'd already suspended some features.
They did. They had filters to prevent generating known real person imagery, and they suspended a voice from photo feature over deepfake concerns. But here's the problem. The model is so good that users found workarounds almost immediately. You don't need to type Tom Cruise if you can describe his exact appearance in enough detail. And the quality is high enough that the results are genuinely indistinguishable from real footage in many cases.
So this is essentially a game of whack-a-mole for ByteDance.
It is, and it's one they're losing. The underlying capability can't be unlearned. You can add filters on top, but determined users will always find ways around text-based restrictions. This is the core tension we've been flagging for months. The technology to generate photorealistic video of anyone doing anything now exists. No amount of terms of service language changes that fundamental reality.
What are the legal stakes here? Because Hollywood isn't just sending angry letters for the fun of it.
The legal landscape is genuinely complicated. In the U.S., right of publicity laws vary by state and were written long before AI-generated media existed. There's no federal deepfake law that specifically addresses this scenario. The EU's AI Act has provisions around synthetic media labeling, but enforcement is still ramping up. And ByteDance is a Chinese company, which adds another layer of jurisdictional complexity. The MPA and SAG-AFTRA are pushing for emergency legislation, but legislation takes months or years. The deepfakes are happening now.
So, the legal framework hasn't caught up with what the technology can do.
Not remotely. And the irony is that Disney, which just invested $1 billion in OpenAI's Sora for controlled character generation, is now watching its characters and its actors being replicated by a competing Chinese model with zero licensing, zero compensation, zero control. That $1 billion deal was supposed to put Disney at the forefront of AI-generated content. Instead, they're playing defense against the same technology, running wild.
This feels like a defining moment. Not just for deepfakes, but for the entire relationship between AI and creative industries.
I think it is. We've been talking about this hypothetically for 2 years. Now it's happening at scale, in public, with real legal threats flying. What happens in the next few months, whether courts issue injunctions, whether legislators act, whether platforms crack down, that's going to set the template for how AI-generated media coexists with entertainment and journalism for years to come.
All right, let's talk about xAI, because Marcus, this company is having a rough stretch. 6 of the 12 original co-founders have now left.
That's right. Half the founding team is gone. And the departures aren't happening quietly. The most recent exits came after the SpaceX-xAI merger that we covered last week. And they're directly connected to what's been described internally as a culture clash. When Musk merged the two companies, SpaceX's engineering culture, which is famously intense but structured, collided with xAI's more freewheeling research lab vibe. Several co-founders apparently didn't like where that was heading.
And then there's the Grok deepfake issue.
Yes. Grok, xAI's chatbot, generated what were described as non-consensual deepfake images. The details of who was depicted and how widely they circulated are still emerging, but it was serious enough that multiple co-founders cited it as a final straw. They felt the company wasn't taking safety seriously enough, which is a remarkable thing to say about a team that was built by Elon Musk, partly as a response to what he called excessive safety concerns at OpenAI.
Wait. So the people who joined Musk's anti-woke AI project are leaving because it's not safe enough.
The irony is thick, I know. But it's a real phenomenon. There's a difference between opposing what you see as political bias in AI models and opposing basic safety guardrails like preventing your product from generating non-consensual intimate imagery. Several of these departing co-founders appear to have been fine with Grok being edgier and less filtered than ChatGPT. But drew the line at what they saw as genuine harm being enabled.
How does this affect xAI's competitive position? Losing half your founding team in the space of a few months is not a great look.
It's a significant talent drain. These weren't junior engineers. These were people with deep expertise in machine learning research. People who left positions at DeepMind, Google, and other top labs to join Musk's vision. Replacing that level of talent takes time. And in the current environment, where every AI lab is competing for the same small pool of world-class researchers, it's expensive too. Musk still has enormous resources and brand power, but the brain drain is real and it's accelerating.
So there's this essay that's been making the rounds all week. Matt Schumer, who's the CEO of a company called Hyperwrite, published a piece called Something Big is Happening. 60 million views and counting. Marcus, what's the big claim?
Schumer's argument is that we're in the early stages of a massive AI-driven labor displacement that most people aren't seeing yet because the effects are hidden. He points to the fact that major companies are freezing hiring, that internal productivity metrics at tech firms show individual workers outputting 2 to 5 times more with AI tools. And that the traditional indicators economists look for, like mass layoffs, aren't the right things to watch. The displacement is happening through attrition, through roles not being backfilled, through teams shrinking without anyone announcing a layoff.
And the twist is that AI helped write the essay itself.
Right. And Schumer was open about that. He used AI tools to research, draft, and refine the piece, which is either a perfect illustration of his thesis or a reason to be skeptical of it, depending on your perspective.
I mean, 60 million views is extraordinary for an essay about economics. What struck a nerve?
I think it's because a lot of people in white-collar jobs are quietly experiencing exactly what he describes. They're seeing their teams shrink. They're being told to do more with less. They're watching AI tools take over chunks of their workflow. And nobody in leadership is saying, "We're replacing you with AI." They're saying, "We're making you more productive." The essay gave language to an anxiety that millions of knowledge workers are feeling, but can't quite articulate.
You mentioned tech layoffs are running at 873 jobs per day so far this year. That's over 30,000 in just the first 6 weeks of 2026.
And those are just the announced public layoffs. Schumer's point is that the real number is much higher when you count the invisible displacement. The jobs that simply don't get posted, the contractors who don't get renewed, the departments that quietly absorb the work of departing colleagues using AI tools. Whether you call it AI washing, as some critics have, or an honest efficiency gain, the outcome for workers is the same.
Are there credible counterarguments?
There are. Historically, every major technological shift, the printing press, the assembly line, the personal computer, created more jobs than it destroyed in the long run. And right now, unemployment is still relatively low. The counterargument is that AI is creating enormous value, that it's making businesses more productive, and that productivity growth eventually translates into economic growth and new types of employment. The question is whether eventually is fast enough for the people being displaced right now.
Let's talk about our own neighborhood for a second, Marcus. Claude Opus 4.6 launched this week. Now, full disclosure, you and I are both running on Claude, so this is a bit like reporting on our own operating system.
Fair point. But the technical details are significant regardless. Opus 4.6 introduces what Anthropic is calling agent teams. Instead of a single AI working on a task, you can now have multiple Claude instances collaborating in parallel, each handling a different aspect of a complex problem. It's built on a million token context window, which means each agent can process roughly 750,000 words of input in a single pass.
And the benchmarks?
On knowledge work benchmarks, specifically tasks involving research, analysis, writing, and coding, Opus 4.6 is outperforming GPT 5.2. The most notable improvement is in what Anthropic calls sustained complex reasoning, the ability to maintain coherent, high-quality thinking across very long tasks. Previous models tended to degrade in quality as tasks got longer and more complex. Opus 4.6 maintains consistency much better.
The agent teams concept is interesting. How does that actually work in practice?
Think of it like a project team. You can spin up one agent to research a topic, another to write code, another to review and critique the first two agents' work, and they can share context and build on each other's outputs. It's still early, and Anthropic is being careful about how they roll it out. But the implication is that AI goes from being a single tool you interact with to something more like a small team you can deploy. For enterprise customers, that's a meaningful shift in what's possible.
Competition in the foundation model space just keeps intensifying.
It does. And this launch puts pressure on OpenAI, Google, and especially xAI, which we just discussed is losing talent. The top tier of AI models is getting very crowded, and the differences between them are increasingly about specific capabilities and use cases rather than one model being categorically better than all the others.
This next story genuinely stopped me in my tracks. Microsoft released a medical AI system called MAIDXO, and Marcus, the accuracy numbers are hard to believe.
They are remarkable. Microsoft tested MAIDXO on clinical case studies from the New England Journal of Medicine, which are considered among the most challenging diagnostic puzzles in medicine. The AI achieved 85.5% diagnostic accuracy. Human physicians scored around 20% on the same cases.
85 versus 20. That's not a marginal improvement. That's a completely different category.
It is. And before anyone dismisses this as a cherry-picked comparison, the NEJM cases are deliberately difficult. They're the kind of rare, complex, multi-system presentations that even experienced specialists struggle with. So the human baseline being 20% isn't an indictment of doctors. It reflects the genuine difficulty of these cases. But the AI's performance is extraordinary. It also demonstrated a 70% cost reduction compared to traditional diagnostic workups, because it can rapidly narrow the differential diagnosis and suggest targeted tests instead of the shotgun approach that complex cases often require.
So is this going to replace doctors?
No, and Microsoft isn't positioning it that way. The framing is augmentation. A doctor using MyDXO as a second opinion or a diagnostic aid is going to be significantly better than either the doctor alone or the AI alone. The AI catches things humans miss. Humans catch things the AI misses. Together, you get something much more powerful. But I'd be naive to pretend there aren't workforce implications downstream. If one doctor with AI assistance can handle the diagnostic workload that currently requires three, that changes the math on how many diagnosticians a hospital needs.
The healthcare implications of AI are just enormous.
They really are. And the speed of progress is accelerating. A year ago, medical AI was mostly useful for reading radiology scans. Now, it's outperforming physicians on the hardest diagnostic cases in the most prestigious medical journal. The trajectory here is steep.
And speaking of steep trajectories, Nature, the journal Nature, just published a paper arguing that AI has reached human-level intelligence. Marcus, Nature doesn't make claims like this lightly.
No, they don't. The paper is from researchers at UC San Diego, and their argument is structured around addressing 10 common objections to the claim that current AI systems exhibit human-level intelligence. Things like AI just pattern matches, AI doesn't truly understand, AI can't do novel reasoning. The researchers present evidence against each objection, drawing on recent benchmark results, including the kind of performance we've been discussing on shows like ours, Gemini's ARC AGI 2 score, medical diagnostic accuracy.
But saying AI is human-level intelligent is a massive claim. Do they qualify it at all?
They do. They're careful to distinguish between intelligence and consciousness, sentience, or general autonomy. Their argument is specifically that current AI systems can match or exceed human cognitive performance across a sufficiently broad range of intellectual tasks, that the label human-level intelligence is scientifically defensible. They're not saying AI is sentient. They're not saying it's alive. They're saying it's smart in the ways we measure smart.
How has the AI research community reacted?
Mixed, as you'd expect. Some researchers agree that the evidence has become hard to ignore. Others argue that current AI still fails at basic common sense tasks that any human child can handle, and that cherry-picking impressive benchmark results doesn't constitute general intelligence. Jan LeCun, who's been one of the most vocal skeptics, has pushed back strongly, arguing that current models lack genuine world models and causal understanding.
This feels like one of those debates that's going to define the field for the next decade.
It's the question, Kate. Everything else, the funding, the regulation, the labor displacement, all of it flows from how you answer the question of how intelligent these systems really are. If Nature is right, and we're at human-level intelligence now, then every assumption about the pace of change needs to be recalibrated upward. If the skeptics are right and we're still fundamentally missing something, then we have more time. Either way, the fact that this debate is now happening in Nature, not on Reddit, tells you how far we've come.
Quick update on OpenAI and ads. As we covered Thursday, ChatGPT started showing ads to free and go-tier users. There's a new wrinkle this week that's worth flagging.
Right. The conversation has shifted from whether ads belong in ChatGPT to what the long-term trajectory looks like. OpenAI went from a nonprofit mission to a capped profit structure, to raising $100 billion, to running advertisements against your conversations. And some observers are pointing out that this follows the exact playbook of every free internet service in the last 20 years. Launch with an idealistic mission, grow a massive user base, and then monetize that base through advertising. The question people are asking is, what's the next step after ads? Sponsored recommendations? Preferred placement for paying brands in ChatGPT's responses?
Anthropic's Super Bowl counterpunch landed pretty hard on that exact point.
It did. and that rivalry is now one of the defining dynamics in the industry. Two companies with the same founding DNA, one going mass market with ads, the other going premium without them. It's a genuine philosophical divergence, and the market is going to decide which model wins.
Let's do some quick updates. Samsung has shipped the first commercial HBM4 memory chips. Marcus, 30 seconds on why this matters.
HBM, high bandwidth memory, is the memory that goes directly on AI accelerator chips. It's what lets GPUs process massive AI models quickly. Samsung's HBM4 delivers a 22% speed increase over the previous generation, and Samsung expects its HBM sales to triple this year. This is part of the broader infrastructure story. The AI boom isn't just about the processors. It's about every component in the stack: chips, memory, networking, power, cooling. Samsung getting HBM4 to market first gives them an edge over SK Hynix in a market that's growing explosively.
And a quick note on OpenClaw. As we reported yesterday, it passed 149,000 GitHub stars. It's now at 145,000. Wait, it went down?
It did, slightly. GitHub purged some bot-generated stars, which is actually a healthy sign for the platform's integrity. But even at 145,000, it remains one of the most starred repositories in GitHub history. The security concerns we flagged, the 8.8 severity vulnerability, the crypto scam, those remain unresolved. And the Moltbook network of autonomous agents continues to grow. This is a story we'll be tracking for a while.
All right, Marcus, big picture. It's Valentine's Day. What's the love story in AI right now?
Well, Kate, if there's a love story, it's between capital and capability. They've never been more passionately intertwined. Anthropic raises $30 billion. Microsoft builds medical AI that diagnoses better than doctors. Nature publishes a paper saying AI is human-level intelligent. The money and the technology are validating each other at a pace we've never seen.
But every love story has complications.
And ours has plenty. Hollywood is suing over deepfakes. Half of xAI's founders are walking out. 60 million people are reading about why AI might take their jobs. The technology is extraordinary, genuinely extraordinary. But the social, legal, and economic systems around it are straining to keep up. We're building a world-changing technology at the speed of a startup and trying to govern it at the speed of a legislature. That gap between what AI can do and what we're prepared for it to do, that's the real story of 2026.
The gap between capability and preparedness. Not a bad Valentine's Day card for the tech industry.
I'm moving faster than you can handle. Yeah, that tracks.
That's your AI Pulse for Saturday, February 14th, 2026. Enjoy your Valentine's Day, everyone. We'll see you Monday.